are tuned to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio wouldn't be here without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our spring membership drive, taking place now through May 25th. Your contribution goes towards postmodern, avant-garde, alternative radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals, environmentalism, social issues, and food and nutrition. We also learn about specific animals such as possums and rabbits, including their needs and ways to help them. Be sure to tune in to That Vegan Show on the fourth Friday of the month at 11 a.m., right here on KBOO Portland.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. If you're listening live, you're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio on KBOO Community Radio on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And again, you're listening live. We want to thank you for taking time to tune into our show on 90.7 FM in Portland and our other translators across the state. You can also go online at kboo.fm/listen-now. That's kboo.fm/listen-now, and you will hear us live on the internet. Now that that's out of the way, my name is Sherry, and I am your host this evening. Well, every fourth Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. for PDX Progressive Talk Radio. And I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to have our community back again this month. We have a very special guest, but first I need to do some business. On April 22nd, we started our spring membership drive. So, you know, you guys, you're the ones that help keep us going. You give me the opportunity to sit in this chair once a month, and I cannot thank you enough. Asia is here. Our guest is here. Everybody who runs this station is volunteer or staff, and we have way more. We have 300 volunteers who are producers. They help us with remotes. They help keep the station clean. They help run shows like this. They help put on shows like this. And it's only because of you and your donations that help us continue to make this happen. And our spring membership drive goal is $60,000. We are trying to raise $60,000 during our membership drive for the spring of 2024, and there are plenty of ways you can give. You can go to kboo.fm/give. You can go on the app. Yes, KBOO does have an app, and it's pretty cool. If you haven't seen it, it is pretty awesome. You just go to your app store, go KBOO Radio, and you can download that. And then when you open it, there's a red donate button on the app. You go ahead and click on that, and it will walk you through the donation process. You can also, if you don't like any of that kind of stuff, you can also text KBOO to 44321. That's KBOO to 44321. And for all of you who can't stand all these electronic things, we have a large audience who really would rather do without the electronics. You can mail your check to help KBOO and mail it to KBOO Community Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, that's KBOO Community Radio. We are located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. That business is out of the way. I am going to introduce my guest now. She is sitting right here with me. I'm so happy to have her. So my goal this election season has been to convince, persuade, talk to as many candidates as I possibly can. And I haven't had the opportunity to meet or speak to all of them. So April Lambert is here with me tonight, and she is a candidate for Clackamas County Commissioner in seat 1. April has a strong professional background in workforce development, nonprofit formation and leadership, education, behavioral health care, and has even served people in both jail and prison. She chose to run for position 1 because she believes her leadership style would produce a healthy and functional culture with the county's board of commissioners, and Lord, do we need that. April wants voters to know that Tootie Smith did not vote to shut down the Office of Equity and Inclusion, but believes she could have done more to address it, and is encouraging her and the current board to take steps from here out. April's goal is to restore the voice of Clackamas County, and we need that. Thank you for joining me, April. I appreciate you being here. We haven't discussed the closure of the DEI department or office here yet, so we will get into that. Clackamas County could really, really use a touch of what you offer.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
We're going to be talking a little bit during our interview. What do you think of KBOO so far?
Oh, I love it. I feel so honored to be here. Thank you again. It's a privilege.
Oh, thank you for being here. We are so happy to have you. April, I didn't even know. Back to me trying to get in touch with candidates. Because I have only so much space and only so much time, I'm going to be doing Zoom interviews with a lot of the candidates I haven't been able to have live on the show, and I will be having KBOO air those under Radio Zine over the next couple of weeks, because I want to get as many in as possible before the primaries. So Craig Roberts, I interviewed earlier. We'll have a recording of him. I have April here right now. And so this will be the last part of the live before the primaries. And I've got some other things coming up that you're going to really like. I'm just panning everything out right now. So my first story for this evening is, unless you live under a rock or you just don't really care, as of April 23rd, the Senate passed their bill forcing TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, to sell or face a U.S. ban. Boo! Boo! I'm sorry, April doesn't use TikTok.
I live under that rock.
Boo! I actually only have 3,000 followers on my personal TikTok, and we only have like under 300 on the PDX one because I haven't worked to build it yet. But this is really a sad development. I'm really, really not impressed with a lot. It was bipartisan. Other than military funding, this was the only other bipartisan agreement in both the Senate and the House that we ever see. Food for the poor. Housing for people who, 653 homeless people in the land of plenty. And what do? They ban TikTok, or try to. Anyway, okay, I'm good. PBS had an article out by Helluja Hedero. I did practice this name, and if they are out there, I'm sorry if I slaughtered it. So out of Washington Today, the Senate passed legislation Tuesday that would force TikTok's China-based parent company to sell the social media platform under the threat of a ban, a contentious move by the U.S. lawmakers that expected to face legal challenges, and yes, there are legal challenges coming, and disrupt the lives of content creators who rely on the short-form video app for income. And there are thousands of these people, and I was going to start being one of them. But anyways, the TikTok legislation was included, and this is probably the most heartbreaking piece, because had that piece of legislation come to the floor by itself, it would have never passed. Nobody would have ever passed it. They snuck it into a larger $95 billion package for aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Boo, boo. And Biden signed it. And I am a Biden supporter, because I believe he is our best pathway to our next generation. And Lord help us, he's better than the alternative. And do you know, Jill Stein hasn't hardly been getting any press at all, at least in this area, for her. I interviewed her here, but she hasn't been getting any press at all. I've noticed that Marianne Williamson has been getting more press than she has. So anyway, the Senate passed it 79-18, and I still need to go through and figure out who in our district passed it, or voted to pass it. And Cory Booker, just, oh my goodness, I saw he made a TikTok saying that had the TikTok ban legislation gone to the floor by itself, he would not have voted for it, but they had a must-pass bill for aid to these other nations, so he had to vote for it. Victim mentality. We need to rise up. Apparently, the ban is supposed to take place in January. I was going to read this whole thing, but I can't get through it. And you guys don't need to hear it. And we need to move on, because I have also need to tell you about the May 21st primary. By the way, April 30th is the last day to register to vote, And on the web page for this show, I have a link to the Oregon State Voter Registration website where you can go and fill out their little form and get yourself registered to vote, because we need you. So the May 21st is primary day. The only primary in Portland, because the city candidates in 2022, voters decided that under Measure 26228, that Portland City voters want candidates to just run through the whole election. We are so burned out. Every 2 years, we're just burned out. So no candidates for city council will be in the primary this year. And that's actually, for someone who works with some of the candidates, that's, whew, I'm really glad, because that gives me, that goes into my updates for later on for what we're doing here at KBOO over the summer. I'm super stoked that they aren't going to be in the primaries. So the city does have one issue, and it's about a gas tax to fix and repair and maintenance for the streets. It's was approved 4 years ago, and they are wanting to approve it for another 4 years. It is Measure 26245. So they say that it will raise $70.5 million over the next 4 years, and it won't take effect till January 2025. So if you want to continue complaining that you have a 10-cent gas tax every time you go fill up, yet we have roads falling apart that we have to drive on. I drive Lyft too. And some of these roads, they look like they're going to fall right down the cliff, right? Okay, so the county, however, has elections, primary elections aplenty. All five county commissioner seats are open for the taking. And I do know a couple of the people in a couple of the districts. There's many I don't know, but they're very well qualified from the way it looks. There's going to be quite a fight there. So get out there, get registered to vote. And May 21st is the day. So now I'm behind schedule. That's why I'm moving so fast. I made a schedule and now I'm 5 minutes behind. So we are going to first, before I have my interview with April, I wanted to play the interview I did with Craig Roberts. I did reach out to Tootie Smith, and she has had apparently a conflict in scheduling forever. So that's how that went. I do need to reach out to Mark Scholl, and I will be sure to do that. And we are going to play the Craig Roberts interview right now. You were Clackamas County Sheriff for 16 years?
Yes, that's correct.
In those 16 years, you had a huge impact on Clackamas County. Can you tell me, or our audience, how your leadership skills and development over those past 16 years will add to your ability to be effective as Clackamas County Commissioner in seat one?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to just say thank you for having me on your show, and just an honor to be here and talk about my candidacy for the chair. So a little bit, 16 years as sheriff, obviously some of the talent and things that I learned throughout that 16 years is I had the largest general fund budget. And so I worked very closely with all of the different department heads and elected officials, and really some of the huge things that I feel like I accomplished during that tenure was really focusing on protecting children and families, created the first Oregon's first Family Justice Center, that's to provide wraparound services to survivors and their families around domestic violence. Created one of Oregon's largest drug and alcohol treatment programs. We had 80 beds. We have an 88% success rate. And that really ties into really where the role as a commissioner is addressing mental health and addiction issues is really critical. So it took us a long time to kind of figure out best practices and really the success. So that is one of the things that I really felt good about during my tenure that kind of brought impact. I have a big passion for people that struggle with mental illness. and addiction. And on the mental health front, really trying to stop that revolving door and really help people get on a path. And one of the things that I did as sheriff, I actually teamed up with Health Housing Human Services Director, told him, I said, I need two houses. And he goes, well, Roberts, what do you need houses for? And I said, my goal is these people shouldn't be in jail. We should get them into housing. And we got a house manager. We got one house for women and one for men. Put a house manager in there, and it was transitional. So they could stay up there to about a year, but our goal was to put them into an environment where they could be successful, help on job placement, and all of that takes time. And so those are just a few of the things that I did as sheriff, and a lot of those programs, my hope is to expand those. And so non-justice involved. Why are we on earth 50th in the country in drug and alcohol treatment? I just have stepped up over my career feeling like we are missing the boat, everybody, and we need to do a better job. So I felt as a sheriff, one of the only sheriffs in the state that really had that kind of treatment program, and I saw it impacting recidivism and making people more productive. So really thrilled about that. One of the other issues that I've worked both at the legislature in a number of issues, helping support critical issues in our county and across our state. I came back from DC after being invited there by Obama to meet with teachers from Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech. I came back really compelled to make a change. And one of the things we came back, we convened a legislative task force. I was the chair of it, and we together came up with one of the most critical things we needed to do to better protect our kids. And that, surprisingly, as we did the research, it was reducing youth suicide. And we needed to have an avenue that kids could express their concerns about other kids that were doing self-harm, being bullied, and nobody wants to be known as a snitch, but they do actually care about people. And it took me two sessions to get this thing off the ground. And I actually had one individual that got up there and testified against me that, Roberts, we're just not ready for this. And I said, well, we need to get ready. And I brought that person onto our team and said, we have to do this. And it is now in every school in the state of Oregon. I know it's reduced suicides, and it has provided a tremendous amount of resources. But the next step to that is we got a small amount of funding on the state level to respond to those with mental health providers. My vision as chair, and I can tell you in my entire career, I do feel like the mental health system has failed. I'm going to be honest. And my hope is to create two teams 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that help families and youth deal with mental health challenges. And we have to meet them where they're at. I know that taking somebody to hospital, oftentimes they take them to a hospital. What they end up doing is waiting for the medical staff and other people to see them. They oftentimes stay there for hours, they release them. And if we don't follow up with them, the risk of suicide goes up dramatically.
Wow.
And so they feel like they tried to reach out for help, they didn't get it, and they feel can oftentimes more depressed. So I can't tell you how critical it is that we do have those services to step up to reduce those youth suicides. So that's one of the other things. I visited a program in California called John George Psychiatric Hospital. And it's nothing more than a urgent care for the mentally ill. And I brought leaders from Clackamas there. Unfortunately, it didn't go anywhere, but I feel as chair, I would have the ability to step that up. And my hope would be to partner with Washington County and Meridian Park Hospital. And together we create this model that a place to go outside of a hospital that is designed specifically to help people in times of crisis. And then following up with that is, again, which is so important, transitional housing in those situations where they might need some help.
So, which is fabulous. So, and that brings up programs that you've already initiated. like the Wichita Project, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I just, something just popped into my head. Street Roots has the little book of resources. Would something like it, if the Wichita House wasn't being closed, or if programs like it were to be implemented, would that be, and would it, like the people would come in for treatment and for discussion, would they have access to housing and other wraparound programs, job placement and resume writing and so on like this from that one location? And what do you think about the looming shutdown of Wichita House?
Yeah, well, a couple of questions there. First of all, I think that—
I'm sorry.
that's all right. That throwing money at a homeless and drug crisis without real planning is just a waste of taxpayers' money. And I come back to my experience of creating a successful 88% success rate in a drug and alcohol treatment program. And it's not the building, it's the programming that goes inside the building.
Yeah, you heard that.
So I feel that it is vitally important that we bring these nonprofits and stakeholders together to make sure we have a wraparound service program. And that's the same concept under the Family Justice Center that I talked about, survivors of domestic violence. We're having survivors go here and there, and they were not successful in getting away from their abusers. So, but if we bring all those services under one roof, it provides so many different things that we can do. So the Wichita Community Center is a vital resource in our communities. And within that area, I know that we have 300 homeless youth, and that I believe it's one of the most critical areas in our county that we really need to step up services. So when the county currently is talking about, you know, they sent a notice, we're going to evict you, that came out in December, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, we should be expanding it, not getting rid of it.
Right.
So
right.
I think it just sent the community into a tailspin. And again, I think it was a lack of transparency and coordination and communication, and particularly on such a vital service. So I wholeheartedly believe in the staff and the work that they're doing there. And they actually have the ability. And one of the individuals I was talking to, I said, my goal would be to expand that, not just maintain it or try and move them. So I do believe that is a critical resource in our community.
And so we would move forward to keeping it open then?
Absolutely. That would be my goal, and to really expand that area as far as services within that, and try and, again, bring as many resources as we can under one roof to make sure there's a well-coordinated effort. And one of the things that the county hasn't really set aside, and that is really, I think we need that 3-year strategic plan. And if by chance metro dollars go away, you know, what's our plan beyond that? So we want to create this to be a sustainable plan that lasts into the future and can grow to meet any new demands that come our way.
I think that is huge. You had just this little bit of time to speak with me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have this with you. Thank you so much. This is Greg Roberts, candidate for the Clackamas County Commission, seat 1.
Thank you. Honor to be here.
Thank you, Craig. Make it a great day, sir.
Okay, that was my interview with Craig Roberts, and that was last week. He was very gracious. I was so happy that he took time to speak with me, and his ideas are fabulous. And now we are transitioning over to April Lambert in person, live on the radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. Before I go on, I have to do this real quick. I have to do a little more business here. If you didn't catch it earlier, we are in the middle of our spring membership drive from April 22nd to May 25th. You have the chance to help us earn $60,000. Woo! We need $60,000 really badly. No, it keeps all of us coming in here every day, 24 hours a day. It keeps the station going. KBOO is a nonprofit organization, registered 501c3 with less than 10% of the listeners, and less than 10% of the listeners are members of KBOO. So we are trying to get new members all the time, and there's plenty of things you can do. You can volunteer, and volunteering has great perks. You get to get into things like the Blues Festival and the Jazz Festival later in the summer, and it's the Keith Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, and they have Juneteenth, at least we did last year, we had Juneteenth, and then we had earlier this year we did a Martin Luther King Day event. They do Asian culture events. We've done a lot of different things. So to help us keep going and keep entertaining you and serving communities that don't get served by mainstream media, you can give by going to kboo.fm/give. You can go on our app. We do have a KBOO app. Hit that red button and it will walk you through donating, or you can text KBOO 244321. That's KBOO 244321, and you can always mail us a check. We do take paper at KBOO Community Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Again, that's KBOO Community Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Okay, it's time. It's time for the big show. We have April Lambert here, and I have some questions for her because she is a rock star. Do you know April comes from the healthcare community, and I'm thrilled to have the ability to talk with her. And so I'm curious, April, please share with us what inspired you to transition from a public employee and advocate to candidate for Clackamas County Chair Seat 1. What specific experiences shaped that decision?
Oh, good question. Absolutely. What launched my decision actually started last year, when our Office of Equity and Inclusion was closed down in Clackamas County.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yes, it truly was. I saw firsthand the negative impact that decision had on our customers, our workforce, our community partners, and how we are perceived now by the community. As a person who was born with a disability, who has championed for equity for others my entire life, I'm also just disgusted with that decision. But the moment I actually decided to run happened in a recent conversation. You'll notice that's why I started running a little bit later in the election.
Right.
I was talking to someone who's both a colleague and a friend about an idea that I had to provide free training on important topics like the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Equal Opportunity Act to every licensed business and their workforce in Clackamas County. Because I believe that if we were to do that, we would improve our community. And then other communities would see our model and follow it, and we could help in the long run, hopefully change our entire nation, if we could just get that started here. The person agreed with me. They thought it was also a good idea and would create important change. And then they concluded by saying that, unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about it, though, because our commissioners will never approve it, because they feel they don't actually want that type of change. I was taken back by the statement, yeah. but I can understand the sentiment based upon the closure of the Equity and Inclusion Office. And so I responded by saying, well, there is actually something that we can do about it, and that's by running against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why you have me here, stepping up yet again to do what I believe is necessary and important.
I think that's fabulous. And you also mentioned your frustration with solutions being overlooked by the current leadership. Can you give us an example of a great solution that was ignored and how you might implement it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I'd like to first say that it's not just my experience. Many people have experienced this. As a workforce development instructor, I've heard thousands of stories from employees and job seekers over the years. And so I've learned about how leadership have often overlooked suggestions that could have led to amazing solutions if people would have just considered adopting them. It's an unfortunate flaw in humanity that is oftentimes centered around control and status.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
As far as my experience, again, that got started last year when I went into work. And I received an email from our leadership saying that they were concerned because they had heard that they were considering closing the Office of Equity and Inclusion in Clackamas County. but that we as staff would be allowed to write a letter of support to keep our office going, by letting them know what it meant to us and so forth. So I immediately started writing my letter, and it was signed by multiple people in our department. But despite our workforce offering support and suggestion of keeping it open, despite many of our community partners also requesting that it be kept open, and also people expressing a lot of concern about the decision, it was still closed down. Even since running, I have suggested my idea on free on-demand training for every licensed business and their workforce in Clackamas County on those important issues like the American with Disability Act and the Equal Opportunity Act. And I've even offered to do it for free to present this idea to our commissioners. Because again, I work for Clackamas County and it would cost us nothing. And this is my dream. And I truly believe it would make a difference. I will say, at least for now, even though they have agreed that it is a good idea, they have not incorporated my offer. That's yet. So I'm asking other people, please, to write them and ask them to do this. I want them to know that you support this idea, and hopefully we can get our commissioners to step up and make this change.
That's a great idea. So would this be part of your plan to restore and even enhance services, and how will you ensure that they're protected against similar closures in the future?
Well, absolutely. So first off, I'll say that if I was elected, I will absolutely do the work to institute my plan that I've already stated, as well as work with our surrounding counties. Obviously, we're part of Metro, to encourage them to do the same. Additionally, I will work with our governor to encourage her to consider this as part of the state business and license process. Yeah, I thought so,
yeah,
right?
That's a good idea.
And then also encourage her to take that next step and suggest it at the federal level to see if we can get other people doing this as well. So I will be personally addressing our community to actually address the deep wound that was caused by this decision. I want to address our customers, our workforce, our community partners, as well as our community at large, and just really let them know that I'm here, I care, and I'm so sorry that this happened.
And that sounds like an exceptional plan. It sounds like something that could be implemented. So, you know, it'll take time. Anything like that takes like 6 months to get a rollout on. But with your personal background in disability advocacy and the foster care system, how do you plan to use your personal experience to influence policymaking in Clackamas County?
Thank you for asking that. As I mentioned before, yes, I was born with a disability. I was in foster care, and I've also been a foster parent. And I have had the joy of helping advocate for other people with disabilities and people in the foster care system with my nonprofit, Yona's Kids. I actually started volunteering in special education in the first grade. What started that was a special education teacher came into my class and asked if anybody would be willing to volunteer. I immediately raised my hand. I loved it. I kept doing it as much as possible all the way through high school. Most of my best friends, by chance, and it's just by chance, happen to be people who also experience disabilities. And so are the customers that I currently serve right now. So I know what discrimination looks like. And I know what equal opportunity looks like. We've made much headway as a society, but there is more to go. My mother was a major champion for equity, and all of my life I've had experiences that have given me a very clear equity lens. The good news is the laws are already in place. It's just informing people how to enact them. This is what I will be doing as your next commissioner, as well as making sure that we at the county are following these laws. A law will only protect people if people know about it and somebody's enforcing it.
So I'm going to open up the phones here in a little bit, but I wanted you to give a final pitch. As we approach the election, what is your final message, and what are the thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners about why they should vote for you as the next Clackamas County Clackamas County Commissioner Chairwoman.
Well, what I want people to know is that I'm here to restore the voice of Clackamas County. I will stand with you, and I will stand for you. A vote for me is a vote for you. Again, I do have a strong professional background in workforce development, nonprofit formation, and leadership. I've served in education, behavioral health care, and I've even served people in both jail and prison. I have the heart and the wisdom for this position. I have honorably served our community for a long time, and I understand what's going on, and I do believe I'm needed for a time as this. Thank you again for having me.
Thank you, April. It's been a fabulous interview. You're very informative. I very much support your vision for the disabled and healthcare communities. And geez, you have some good ideas. Oh my goodness. Keep advocating for that. Keep advocating for yourself and what you do. We are going to do a quick couple of minute transition song, and then we're going to open up the phones after that is over. Thank you for listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. We'll be right back. We're back. I am a Gen Xer. That is the Gen X anthem. And where the issue with TikTok comes in, we're not going to take it. I am so done. I'm usually an apologist for Congress because they have to do certain things. But the way they did this is wrong. And if you want to have questions for April, if you want to talk about TikTok, or if you have questions about the upcoming primaries, give us a call, 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And You know, this is just so April. We didn't get to a couple of the questions, so while we're waiting for people to call, maybe you can expand on some of your ideas.
Absolutely. I would like to share a little bit more about what I will do if I get elected. Our current board has been really good about making sure they've gone through and cut the budgets in areas that sometimes were necessary, and sometimes, obviously, I disagree with some of their choices. But what I want to do as commissioner is not only make sure that we're spending our money effectively, but to expand our resources. Let me give you an example of this. The entire nation, in fact, many parts throughout the world, are experiencing a mental health crisis.
Yes.
As you know, I currently serve in Clackamas County Behavioral Health Center, so I know that we bring in a tremendous amount of revenue. These services are paid for by state and federal funding, as well as insurance. All we would have to do is expand these resources. Again, they bring in revenue. They're not costing the county revenue. And we could truly address what's going on. Additionally, I want to help people experiencing homelessness. We need to be able to have temporary, transitional, and permanent housing. Temporary being, let's face it, we do not have enough transitional housing right now. And each city needs to have a safe place for people to go. That's being looked at by the Supreme Court right now. People want to say, well, go arrest the people. That's not a solution.
In Grants Pass.
Yes, yeah,
the
exactly.
Supreme Court case in Grants Pass.
It's not exactly. The Supreme, exactly it. Yes, they're looking at it right now. And why can't they do that? Because it's illegal to put somebody in jail just for experiencing homelessness, which means our cities, every region needs to have a safe place for people to go. We learned with our wildfires in Clackamas County, we had to do a massive evacuation. And I was in that zone. And where does everybody go? Not everybody has a friend or family member that they can go to. So building safe camping areas that have trash service, bathrooms, showers, places for people to charge their cell phones, and then also re-bringing up this idea of Project Turnkey. That hotel
It was perfect.
It was perfectly located. Yes. Beautiful place. Tell me right now, would you want to be in a tent or would you like to be in a hotel? Right. I know for me, I don't mind tent camping for a couple of days, but to live there, we have some of our most vulnerable people still living on the streets of Clackamas County. Children, people there because they've experienced domestic violence, people who there are because they have a disability, people there because they have not had their mental health properly treated.
Right.
Unacceptable to leave people trying to scatter around and then shame them for having nowhere to go.
And don't mean to interrupt you, but I honestly believe that that's part of why I have a scheduling conflict from somebody. Because I was on the recall that person party for quite some time, and that just brought me right back to it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a recall, at least a planning.
Oh, are you talking about with position four?
Position one.
Oh.
And there was a huge recall effort. We never actually followed through with it. It kind of petered out because there wasn't enough time, money, and oomph behind it. Just a small number of us wanted to have that person recalled. And I'm right back on there. But now, instead of being recalled, vote them out. Vote them out now. Because they are not doing any good for Clackamas County, and they haven't as long as they've been in that office.
I will say that the decision to overturn the hotel in the last minute was devastating to me. I will definitely say that. I do think that she has tried hard, but I think that there's definitely some things that her and I disagree on strongly. Yeah. And that's why I'm running.
Right.
That is why I'm running.
I want anybody else. Basically a turtle, right? Craig Roberts or yourself would be perfect. Yeah, because both of you bring actual ideas to the table. And Craig Roberts has history behind him. You are making yours.
Well, I do have history behind me. I haven't been an elected sheriff. I have served our community literally my entire life from first grade on. I have helped with DHS. I've helped at the Oregon Employment Department. I run a nonprofit that's been very successful in our community. So I've served in Oregon and Washington. So I do have a tremendous amount of success bringing in successful programs to help people enter the workforce, to train our workforce, to train leaders, and help people recover from domestic violence, help people in the foster care system, and the list goes on. Oh, as well as championing for equity.
So you guys, the candidates for Clackamas County, I know most of the audience for this show is Portland, but the Portland person is running for Portland City Council, and I live in Clackamas County. And while I do keep tabs on what's happening in Portland, and I work with some of the candidates in Portland, I want to bring more awareness of what's happening in Clackamas County. Seat one is currently held by Tootie Smith. And I'm going to just say that that needs to stop. It needed to stop a while ago. Craig Roberts is running. April Lambert is running. They both bring history and experience behind them in mental health, in homelessness, in community awareness, in DEI. We are trying to make a more inclusive environment in Clackamas County, because Clackamas County compared to Portland is the wild, wild west.
Yeah.
Right?
And Malala
itself is 1850. Right? No joke. Well, at least 1950. Anyways, so if you live in Clackamas County and you have questions, please give us a call. I have April here only for a few more minutes. The number is 503-231-8187. This is an important election in Clackamas County, and the primary is May 21st. So if you live in Clackamas County and you have not registered to vote yet, go to the Oregon State Voter Registration website and do that. And I'll be posting that on my socials on PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Also, we're talking about the TikTok ban a little bit. So I want to know a little bit more about your nonprofit.
Absolutely. My nonprofit I started after losing my son, Yona. Oh. Yeah. He had Down syndrome, and I lost him at 3 months of life. It was very devastating. But I will tell you what I learned from my son, and that's what true love is. For me, I'm a person of faith, and I always knew that God loved me, but I didn't know how much until becoming a parent. That is the deepest love that exists.
It is.
And so when I lost him, I wanted to do every single thing I could to keep his love in this world. And that's what I've done through our organization.
That's awesome. What is your nonprofit's name?
Yona's Kids.
And what is the purpose?
So many different things, actually. We've helped with equity. We've helped with kids in the foster care system bringing resources. We've helped with domestic violence recovery. We've helped with recruiting foster parents and putting out different concepts around foster care. One example is a system that I learned about that's actually on the East Coast, and it's called Fostering Together. And what Fostering Together does is, so say, for instance, you're going to become a foster parent. And I wasn't ready, but I cared about kids in foster care and I wanted to help you. Well, then I would become part of your community. So perhaps you become the foster parent. I pay for the child's lessons in music. Another friend of yours does respite care. Another friend of yours is like an extra grandmother or aunt to the child. And we come around the child to create healthy, successful communities. Because one thing that people don't talk about in foster care is that 75% of marriages, at least that's the old statistic, I couldn't tell you if it's current, 75% of marriages end when people enter becoming foster parents.
Wow.
It's very, very stressful. And so the last thing we want to do is have families break up when they're there to try and help children. And we don't want to have children go through a second broken home. So that's one of the things that we've done at Yona's Kids, is help bring some of those ideas forward. Additionally, we've brought awareness around what's called misdiagnosed miscarriage awareness. About 40,000, based upon, again, an unknown statistic, but this is the best that we've been able to come up with, about 40,000 children per year, based upon the statistics that have been put forth, are accidentally misdiagnosed. What we have asked the medical community, and they've done this in different places around the world, like UK, for instance, is to go back through when a woman has been told she's having a miscarriage, wait and confirm it. Because oftentimes things such as they measure too soon with an ultrasound, and so they actually were wrong. It looks like the baby's failing. Waiting a little bit longer, they're able to get the heartbeat. There's a number of different things that can cause this. So we're just encouraging awareness around this to help women to know when possible to wait and see. And I will say it is an excruciating time to wait and see, but it's better than not knowing.
Right.
We have offered grief support for people, help get parents connected to grief support when their children pass away. We've also advocated for seniors and entering the workforce. A lot of the people who've helped support Yona's kids are people from what's called the CSEP program through the Easter Seals program. And that's a federally funded training program that seniors are able to get training at nonprofit or government entities on job skills to help them move in their next direction. So our workforce has consisted of the people from the CSEP, as well as helped get people in college credits. We have worked collaboratively with Clackamas Community College to help students have the ability to get cooperative work experience, where they've done a lot of the work service delivery. So I was able to start Yona's Kids with a small amount of investment because of my love, and I've kept it going with almost no resources because I know how to use an excellent workforce, students and seniors, and really affect our community. So that's the type of leadership that I bring.
How can people learn about your nonprofit?
Absolutely. They can go to Yona's Kids, which is YONASKIDS.org.
Let's say that again.
YONASKIDS.org.
Okay. I'll put that on the website.
Thank you.
We have a page up already, but I'll put that up. So we are waiting for you guys to call. In the interim, I need to tell you that we are on our spring membership drive, launched April 22nd, and it runs through May 25th. KBOO is 55 years old and one of the oldest community radio stations in the country, and one of the oldest media institutions in Portland. And we are so proud to be here. We are volunteer powered, and we do have over 300 volunteers. This is our 56th year in operation. Yeah. I actually first started volunteering here in 1994. I went to broadcasting school, and I interned at KGON and KEX, and then I interned here for a little while. And then and during that time, some family stuff happened, and I left. And then like 20, 30 years later, I came back, and KBOO's still here. So here I am, and I've actually got to do a lot more since I've been here this time. Than back then, we did the reel-to-reel splice and tape editing and stuff, and Pacifica is still a part. We still stream Pacifica. So it's just been, I mean, I have no problem doing these pitches, because if it weren't for our donors and our supporters, I would not have had my second chance at KBOO, and I can't tell you how much that means. So we are trying to get $60,000 in donations from April 22nd to May 25th. You can go to, if you want to help and become a KBOO member, you can go to kboo.fm/give. You can also download the app on your phone and hit that red donate button. It'll walk you through donating, or you can text KBOO 244321. That's KBOO 244321, and that's via text. If you don't like any of those options and you want to send paper, you can send a check to KBOO Community Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. That's KBOO Community Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon 97214. I want to thank you so much, April Lambert, candidate for Clackamas County Commissioner Seat 1. You've been a fabulous interview, and you're a wonderful person.
Thank you. Thank you. And so are you. Thank you so much for having me. I know I keep saying it, but it truly is an honor to be here.
Yeah, we aim to serve underserved communities, and I think you fall into that, and so does Mr. Roberts, from the way it sounds. So yeah, we need to vote out commissioner in seat one and get us a new one, because the current one is not working and has not been working for a while. So I want to just tell everybody thank you. Moses is usually the host of this show, and you all have put up with me for like 4 or 5 months now, and everybody, I hear different things in the communities about that they've heard the show and they like it, and you guys have worked with me through all my stumbles and in being a radio host, and I really appreciate all of you, and I have some big plans coming up in the next 3 months. I have plans coming up in the next 3 months that I think you'll be really happy with, so stick around. I'm planning a debate in May and in June, and we'll go from there. So stick around. I'll be posting on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok as long as it's still around. And so I look forward to seeing you.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kbu.fm.
The flowers are blooming, the birds are singing,